It's the Ro Khan Show with me, Anna DeBlantis. Thank you to all the listeners reaching out with the kind words for Ro. His father passed away, and a lot of people bringing the condolences. So I'm sure Ro will appreciate that, and we'll pass Absolutely. It along to him. We expect him back pretty soon. So we're thinking about you, Ro, and the listeners are too. Also, we just want to update our Robert Pattinson talk from earlier. We were saying that maybe Lauren and I were not sure about him yet as being Batman. And our listener says, don't you see the connection between vampires and bats?
Ah.
Thank you for noticing that connection.
Ro took his snare drum with him earlier to give you the rim shot.
He used that at this moment. He took his bell, too. So all the plugs today are going to get on. We're not going to ring the bell. We have someone interesting on the show right now. And it's, we all know about the Asian carp problem. We don't want them in the Great Lakes. They're an invasive species. They could be a real problem for us. And there have been a lot of solutions suggested. But we have a local man, Brian Colgan, who said, you know, why not build a business around this, create local jobs? And he has at least one solution, possibly more, but one that sounds pretty genius around the Asian carp. And Brian, thank you for being on the show and talking to us. Let me see. Brian, can you hear us? You hear us okay, Brian?
Hello?
I don't know. We'll have to get to him in a second. Let's see if we can work on that.
Classic technical difficulty.
Yeah, right. Thanks, Kev. It's the big board in front. Here we go. Brian, can you hear us okay?
I can.
Sorry about that. It took us a second to bring your sound.
He probably caught two more Asian carp in the time it took him to get him back on the line. Nice
job,
Brian.
Are you a fisherman? That's the first question. Mm-hmm. Or are you just you're a business guy? Or both?
No, I'm not. I spent the last 14 years working for government. So I developed this obscure knowledge base on Asian carp. So I was out in Washington, D.C. working for Congresswoman Judy Biggert. When I first got to know the fish, she was in charge of building three electric barriers in the I&M Canal to keep them from the lake. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of my entree to Asian carp, and it's kind of followed me throughout my career.
Well, that's the last we heard, Brian. We heard that they had the electric barriers up, and we were hopeful that they were going to work and they were going to keep them out of the Great Lakes, because we know how disastrous it would be if these these Asian carp would get into the Great Lakes. So are you thinking that, okay, we just have this big population we got to do something with that's in the streams and the channels leading up to the lakes?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the public policy role, you're always looking at, government solutions. What can we do to enhance our efforts and keeping them out? But we kind of always would talk about, you know, we wish, you know, some entrepreneur, some folks would really see Asian carp more as a commodity that instead of just an invasive species. And so, there's a market out there if you're willing to look for it. And that's, you know, since I left government service in January, decided to kind of put my money where my mouth is and jump in and identify those markets.
Okay, so get to it. What is this solution that's making some headlines right now? You've come up with one idea in particular that sounds pretty cool. So tell us what it is.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. Asian carp as lobster bait. So we were looking around at, you know, what's going on in different markets and where could we enter. And a lot of people don't know, but there's a shortage of herring. And so the government regulator said, you know, you can't fish out a certain number of herring. There's a cap on the amount that you can fish. And herring happens to be the number one bait fish in Maine for lobster fishermen. Mm. And so that created a 70 million pound shortage of bait. And so it creates a good opportunity for us to take all the fish we have in Illinois and provide a bait solution to their problem. It's a win-win.
And you know, Brian, I would assume that lobsters will eat Asian carp, right? Because they're not that picky. Although people that eat lobster are kind of picky,
but
lobster. But do you know? Did you like get a little Larry the Lobster and go, here boy, with some
check
Asian
it out.
Carp, and
I mean, you did
make sure they like
out.
It?
Yeah. So they currently eat common carp and a bunch of other different fish. We are going to send some samples of the Asian carp in Illinois once Maine green lights everything. But yeah, I mean, they eat everything. They like oily, smelly kind of fish. They're bottom feeders. So we have them in abundance. So why not develop that market?
So it's you've talked to Maine fishermen. Have you researched that they would be willing to do that? So that part of it's. Seems like you've got the demand side of it and you've got the supply side of it. So what's standing in the way?
So we have to connect all of those. Yeah, Maine, the fishermen are excited. You know, they're a little hesitant. They look at, you know, okay, Asian carp, what's this going to mean? But we've been talking to them a lot and making that work. Really, the big challenge is here in Illinois. We don't really have a commercial fishing industry that can support this type of demand. Mm. And so a lot of my work has been, you know, problem solving. I've been doing that for 14 years, trying to work with them and come up with other solutions. So we have commercial fishermen who see Asian carp and it's crowding out other fish that they once could make money on. I'm trying to work with them more as partners and develop a co-op of fishermen that can work with me, do probably some profit sharing with those fishermen so that we can invest in them, because I need to build more of an industry instead of a business. The industry needs to support the demand. Mm-hmm. And so by investing in them, paying above market and helping them grow their businesses, I can scale up and I can hit, mm-hmm. you know, that 20 million pound demand that we see Maine wanting out of Illinois today.
How do you fish for Asian carp in large numbers? Mm-hmm. I mean, is there a way to sort of do that?
Yeah, so they go out. They go out early in the morning. I've gone fishing with them. They lay their nets, kind of in a U shape from the shoreline, and they make a ton of noise. We've all seen kind of YouTube gold yeah. moments of them jumping out of the water and mm-hmm. hitting people, and they're afraid of loud noises. So they sit there with a metal bat on a metal boat, and they're mm-hmm. hitting the boat, and they're revving their engines, and they're going, you know, on both sides of the net and trying to scare them into the net. And so then a couple hours later, they pull it out. Yeah.
So, Brian, there's an actual guy with, like, a Louisville Slugger. Do they not know about the technique of recording things and just playing it on a speaker? Or does the guy just like to do that? I'll be the bad guy.
No, they're doing that. They're hitting the boat. They're doing whatever. It's so funny.
Here, Carpy. Yeah, I would just blast a little Slayer at them if they don't like loud metal.
Well, it's funny you say that. Actually, one of the strategies they're looking at, the Army Corps of Engineers, is testing, like, putting speakers in the water at locks and dams and making a lot of noise because it'll scare them away from the lake. So it's kind of funny. But, yeah, that's how they catch them. And they pull in probably in 4 hours. They can pull in, you know, 10,000 pounds of Asian carp in certain pools.
So. Can you imagine if you're just going by your pleasure craft and you see this giant barge where they're blasting out Megadeth?
And you're like, a bunch of fish jumping out of the water?
Yeah, it's like a Godzilla movie. What is happening?
I would be freaked out by that, I would think. You have to kind of warn people.
You could do some music videos with that in the background. Exactly. Make some additional there you money go. There. It's fun.
Can you bring us up to speed? How is the problem of the Asian carp? How are things going with that? We haven't heard any updates in a while.
Yeah, so I think the good thing is, you know, they haven't really moved since 1991. They've gotten, right. you know, bigger in different areas. So they're always in the Dresden Island pool, which is just outside of Joliet. Mm. They've been there for a while. We have an amazing team over at Illinois Department of Natural Resources who work with, you know, federal agencies and everybody on a monitoring program. And so they do a lot of different testing to make sure they're not advancing. Illinois DNR, they identified, okay, commercial fishermen are a solution. Let's use them. And so they pay them through federal funds to remove Asian carp from that pool from Dresden Island. And they've removed since 2012, 93% of the Asian carp population in that one pool, which is the leading edge and kind of the front line between here and Lake Michigan. So they're doing a lot of good work. I want to take that and expand it. So if it's working here, let's continue going to different pools downriver and further push their spawning activity away from the lake. And if we can do that, it's a win-win. We sell a product, we create an industry, we keep Asian carp out of the lake, and I think, you know, everyone will benefit.
I love that. I really do. And are we worried about what they're doing where they are right now, or is the damage sort of minimal considering their current location of all the Asian carp?
Yeah, I mean, the damage is kind of done in those areas, but, you know, there's a lot of support up and down the river to remove them, you mm-hmm. know, do whatever you can to get them out. And by, you know, taking our entrepreneurial spirit, embracing capitalism for all it's got, we can light a fire into this and say, you know, we'll remove and we'll pay you for it. And so, you know, the more we can remove, the better it'll be for everybody.
Awesome. Where can people find out more about your what you're trying to do and help if they can, I suppose?
Yeah, visit my website. It's www.colgancarp.com, and it's Colgan.
ColganCarp.com. We might have lost Brian.
ColganCarp. Oh. Yep, ColganCarp.com. That's me.
Because you've looked into a number of solutions for them, from fertilizer to pet food and all kinds of things. And we all tried them in the human consumption. They were trying to market them as a fish to eat, and that didn't work out. So you've moved through a lot of different things before you got to this solution, and it seems like a pretty good one. So thanks for sharing your idea with us, Brian. We appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. And fun fact, University of Illinois actually serves 1,400 servings of Asian carp in their dining halls every week.
Really?
So there are opportunities there. Yeah, there's tons of opportunities when it comes to Asian carp all over. And so eventually getting into that market, you know, getting into universities, the price point of Asian carp are below that of tilapia. So a lot of folks are looking at this, and now's the time, you know, get it into corrections, get it into universities, you know, use it to help solve childhood hunger. There's a lot of ways we can do that once we build an infrastructure, and, you know, we want to do all those things.
Awesome. Thank you, Brian Colgan, founder of Colgan Carp Solutions. We wish you the best.
Thanks, Brian.
Best of luck. Thanks for sharing the idea with us.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
He wants to be the carp king.
Just fry and throw hot sauce on it.
Have you tried it, though, Kevin?
Trust me. There's not enough hot sauce in the world, Kev. It's not even for us, buddy.
Wow.
And they're like this spiny, bony fish, too. So getting the meat out of that whole thing is like a lot of work for really very little payoff.
I see. I I'm sure it's true because lobsters are literally bottom feeders. But I see even some lobsters turning the whole chassis around in slow motion.
Where's the herring?
I'm good. And walking like 6 feet away. It takes 7 hours, you know, to walk away from the food. Then you just put the same food right in front of it, turns around again.
We're going to be eating a lot of skinny lobsters pretty soon. This is the problem. I don't know. Well, you know, hey, it might work, and I hope it does.
Might. I hope it does.
It puts people to work.
Times
and,
are tough for the lobsters.
Listen.
We're not feeling for them just yet. But anyway, that was a cool idea, so we're thankful that
works.
We share. Well, we do, too. We all do. Let's check in with Kim Gordon now. Find out what's coming up bottom of the hour in the WGN Radio News.
Chicago police have a new tool to stop drug deals on Chicago's heroin highway.